By early morning, it is quiet again. I can almost feel the shelter expand with air as everyone lets out a sigh of relief. Then, without warning, the whistle of a rocket flies near us and hits our shelter. The blast almost knocks the air out from my lungs. I reach for Pity's arm, then jerk my hand back as my palm touches something wet and sticky on her. My stomach churns. I turn to see Pity lying face down on the ground, quiet and motionless. The top of her skull is caved in. A pool of blood slowly seeps into the dirt around her head. Her hair is wet and matted with small bits of a tofu-like substance on her black head. Her blood and pieces of brain are still on my hand. Pity's mom screams for her, then gathers Pity into her arms. I wipe her blood and brains on my pant legs. In a panic, I get up and run after Keem and Chu out of the shelter, away from Pity, away from her screaming mother, away from the sorrow that threatens to take residence in my heart. Outside, people are scattered everywhere, screaming and crying as they run in every direction, bumping and pushing each other. Keem and Chu hold hands and run ahead of me, yelling for me to keep up. We don't know where to run to, we just run. Keem stops running and looks back at the shelter. "I left behind the backpack," he yells. "Keep running, I'll get it and catch up," I scream to him, and before he can answer, I am gone. I know he has to take care of Chu. Entering the destroyed warehouse, the thick smell of burnt flesh quickens my pulse. Black smoke obstructs my vision, stings my eyes. Stepping over slabs of concrete and parts of the wall that has fallen, I make my way to our spot. My heart drops at the sight of Pity's mom holding her corpse to her chest, weeping. Pity is limp in her arms, her blood soaking into her mom's blouse. So much blood everywhere. Then I see that Pity's mom is also injured. She is bleeding from her stomach and arms. Pity's brother squats beside them, urging his mom to leave. His voice quivering, he tells her the Khmer Rouge soldiers are crossing the river and will be upon them any minute. I grab the backpack, ignoring the pleas and cries for help. Looking straight ahead, I jump over the dead and run to meet my brother and sister. I see them waiting for me and scream for them to run ahead. The rockets have stopped, but the Khmer Rouge soldiers are getting closer. I hear their bullets whiz past me. I dare not turn and look. I know they are there. I run for my life. In front of me, a man falls from a bullet. His body stops mid-stride, his chest jerking forward before he falls to the ground. Many people get hit and drop one by one to the ground all around me. Some lie still while others crawl on their elbows trying to reach safety.